Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I said last week, in the wake of the grand jury decision, I think Ferguson laid bare a problem that is not unique to St. Louis or that area, and is not unique to our time. And that is a simmering distrust that exists between too many police departments and too many communities of color.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. You just heard our dear leader again attacking police and dividing America. We've gone from the Gettysburg Address to the Pettysburg Address. And we have to ask ourselves why this president continues to continue the Cold War against this nation. Why does he continue with Al Sharpton and Eric Holder to continue the hate? Why does he continue the big lie that the police are the problem, not the criminals? Why does Obama, Sharpton, and Holder keep the Cold War alive? Now, there's an answer to this. And the answer can be found in John Boehner's tepid response to the election that just occurred 3 weeks ago. What occurred 3 weeks ago was a landslide, an earthquake, a shock to the body politic. But as you know, the deviant in the White House, and I use the word very, very carefully, he's a deviant from the Democrat Party, he's a deviant from liberalism, he's a deviant from the Constitution, he's a deviant from the American way, he's a deviant from the American political process. The deviant in the White House pretended the next day as though there had been no election. In fact, the deviant in the White House, surrounded by his deviant administration, said it doesn't matter what happened because come 2016, we'll show you who runs this country. So now let's circle back to what Boehner just did. Boehner basically said, oh, we're going to fund the government now. Eh, we'll fight immigration reform in 2015. So what you're hearing is Obama, Holder, Sharpton, and the other haters in the deviancy brigade are continuing the narrative for a couple of reasons. One, because they know they have Boehner's agreement to do nothing like shut the government down. Boehner and McConnell and the old line leadership in the Republican Party, in my opinion, worked out a deal behind the scenes where they said, we'll do nothing because we're afraid of you. We like the money flowing into the pockets of our supporters, the big oil, for example, big drilling. And we're not going to fight you on immigration. We're not going to shut this government down if you give us the Keystone XL pipeline when we vote on it in January. Don't veto it. So he said, fine, that's a good deal. So that's why Obama's more brazen than ever. It's because he's not really working alone. He's working with Boehner. He's working with Boehner. Now, the big question is, why is Obama so confident that the Democrats will win in 2016 given the results of the last election? Here's my analysis of that. It is because he knows that by flooding America with 5 to 50 million illegal aliens before the election, you can take any number you want. If they say 5, multiply it by 3. They've always said 11 million. Michael Savage has always told you 30 million. Suddenly the number came out to be 35 to 40 million. They said they're legalizing 5 million by not deporting them. So it means 15 million. They will all vote because they put in place illicit laws which say you're not allowed to ask for voter ID, which is absurd. There's not a Western nation that I know of that doesn't require voter ID. In fact, without voter ID, you have no government. You have no election. So with the illegal aliens, wait, I'm not finished yet, and the mobs in the streets of Ferguson, Oakland, California, New York, Atlanta, wherever you look, the mobs of those who don't work, don't vote, he is counting on keeping them agitated right up until 2016, with the big lie that the police are the problem. And so he figures that if you take the demographics, they're going to win for the next 100 years. I could make another analogy, which is that Obama is like the leader of the Palestinians in Israel. And they've said, look, the Israelis are never going to go along with our viewpoint. So let me keep pandering to the Palestinians. They may kill Jews. They may throw Molotov cocktails. They may execute people in cafes. But you know what? We have to appease them because they're our people. And so we'll blame the Israelis for the terrorism. And so Obama's now blaming the police and the voters, in essence, who just threw him out of office, for the problem. And that's my opinion of what's going on. And let's bring it down to a simple story. Right in St. Louis, a Bosnian man was driving through a black neighborhood. 32-year-old handsome guy, good-looking guy with his wife. Unfortunately for him, he drove through a black area in St. Louis. The news says five teenagers, but they're five black teenagers, began pounding on his car with a hammer. Bezhik got out of the car because he came from war-torn Bosnia and he was not a coward. He came here in search of a better life. He got out of his car and the five black teens beat him to death with hammers. They beat him in the mouth, face, head, and body, and he died in a nearby hospital. He got out of the car to protect his wife, who was in the car. Yet the, quote, officials in St. Louis says it is not a hate crime. The St. Louis Bosnian community, which is very large, by the way, sees the hammer murder as a hate crime. So I'll ask you, the audience, is this a hate crime or not? I'm asking you. The St. Louis Police Department and Mayor Francis Slay are insisting Bezhik's death, allegedly at the hands of black and Latino teenagers, was not based on racial or ethnic hate. How could that possibly be? St. Louis Police spokesmouth Shron Jackson said, investigators don't believe the incident is in any way related to Ferguson, and the incident, not the murder, the incident is not being investigated as a hate crime. Now, we would say, where is Eric Holder? We know where he is. He's nowhere to be found when there's a real hate crime. But you see, a string of previous crimes involving poor minorities and Bosnians in a tough area on the southwest side of St. Louis has many in the Bosnian community questioning whether Bezhik's death was racially motivated. We don't know if it's a hate crime. Well, what was it, a love crime? Did the five teens beat this man to death because they were in love with him? He was beaten to death with hammers. 32-year-old Bosnian immigrant, driving with his fiancée, beaten to death by blacks and Hispanics. Not being investigated as a hate crime? Why not? They were walking to their car when they heard a group, including at least one of the defendants, yelling. As Bezhik drove away, one of the teenagers jumped on the back of the car and began hitting it. Unsure of what was happening, Bezhik stepped out of his vehicle and was approached by the individuals, one of whom taunted him and challenged him to a fight. Brave man. That's a brave teen, you know, with hammers and five of them. He's a real tough guy. Bezhik was then allegedly assaulted by four of the punks and struck with a hammer and fell to the ground. The three other vermin continued to beat him before the group of subhumans fled on foot, police said. Robert Joseph Mitchell, 17, has been charged as an adult with first-degree murder and armed criminal action and early morning attack. Two other teens, ages 15 and 16, are in custody. And a fourth suspect remains at large. Now, there's been hundreds of protesters rallying for the past two nights in the Little Bosnia neighborhood in response to this murder, this hate crime, chanting Bosnian Lives Matter, an echo of the Black Lives Matter chant heard in Ferguson after 18-year-old Michael Brown, the gentle giant, was shot and killed by a police officer. But Zamir Bezhik didn't make it. He didn't make it, apparently. He didn't make the cut to Al Sharpton. He didn't make it to the Reverend Jackson. See, there's no money in it for those there's no money in it for those shysters. There's no outrage from the president, no outrage from a Holder, of course. But Zamir Bezhik, who was murdered by these vermin, was a teenager when he and his family fled Bosnia after a civil war. And in America, he found work. He didn't go on welfare like those who beat him with hammers. No, he came here to work. He found work. He found friends. He found love. And then he was beaten to death by these vermin. One of his friends said, "We came to America thinking it was going to be a better life. Our family and friends were being killed over there." He said his brother loved every race. He loved every race. And by the way, the brother who was beaten to death was a karate instructor. A lot of good his karate did him when he was surrounded by five vermin with hammers. He loved every race. He loved kids. He loved music. And this family has now been destroyed in St. Louis by these five subhumans. There are 70,000 Bosnians in this community. They have marched for two nights. Nowhere to be seen with a camera is one representative from the despicable media. Not one scene has been shown with that lowlife, Anderson Cooper. Nowhere to be seen is the thin man himself. Where are all of the Fox News reporters on this subject? What were they told by their bosses not to cover it because it doesn't fit the narrative? Where is the outrage? Where is it? How come Schlepper Smith isn't flying down there in a jungle outfit? Why isn't Anderson Cooper there in tight jeans and a bush jacket reporting on the scene? Why? Because it doesn't fit their narrative. So we'll go back. We'll circle back to my first statement. Why are Obama, Holder, and Sharpton keeping the Cold War alive between blacks and whites? What is their intent here? Their intent is to agitate America for two straight years. We're going to have a hell like you've never, like you could never believe. This gang will not stop. This gang of revolutionary criminals will not stop. They want to agitate the mob so they get them to vote in 2016. And moreover, they want to continue to bring in millions of illegal aliens to vote as well so that your vote doesn't count. In other words, they are like an invading force trying to nullify the vote of the American worker. It's that simple. That's my opinion. Now, does it tie into my great best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War? Well, let me ask you something. You mean the burnings and the lootings in Ferguson a few weeks ago is not sort of like, maybe like, a little like, sort of like Fort Sumter? Sort of not like the first battle, the first rounds fired in the Civil War that I warned you he was going to provoke? I don't know. I'll let you decide. Some people see things more clearly than you do. And some people can write things more clearly than you do. And some people can speak things more clearly than you do. And on that note, I'll take your calls on these questions. Do you think the beating to death of this young man, 32 years old, from Bosnia, by young men of color? Well, let's use Obama's phrase, young men of color. Because he said many police departments are not trusted by communities of color. But since it was all youths of color who beat up the European and killed him with hammers, I will ask you, do you think that that was a hate crime? I mean, that's a no-brainer. Of course it is. Obviously it's a hate crime, right? Tell us your upward mobility story. That's another side note. Remember there was a stupid professor from Scotland who said that America has no upward mobility, even though he himself exceeded his father and his grandfather. I mean, how he can make a statement like this is unbelievable. Of course, if you're a dummy and you include in your pool of Americans those who've just gotten off the boat or snuck across the border, they're not going to move too far in America. They don't speak the language. They're uneducated in their own language. They don't speak their own. They don't read or write their own home language. How can they move up in the country? How can they? So if you take the millions that have been flooded into America by this administration, of course there's no upward mobility in general. But why don't you tell that to Mr. Bezos? Why don't you tell that to Zuckerberg? Why don't you tell that to the boys who created Google? Ask them if there's any upward mobility. Ask them if they've gone further than their father in the country in which communist professors tell you that there's no upward mobility. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
As I said last week, when any part of the American family does not feel like it is being treated fairly,
try the voters,
that's a
Obama.
Problem for all of us. It's not just a problem.
I'm a member of the American family, and my vote doesn't count.
For a particular community or a particular demographic.
What a lot! What a skilled liar!
It means that.
But who is he selling this to?
As strong as a country as we can be, and when applied to the criminal justice system, it means we're not as effective in fighting crime as we could be.
Look, we've had I don't know how to put it where you'll accept it, because many of you are so dumb. You're so sold on idiocy that you can't even understand what actually happened to this country when this man was foisted upon us. And what he's done to us over the last 6 years should have been evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence that we've had a revolution in America. What do you think he is saying to you? He's saying to you, your vote doesn't count because they didn't support me. He's saying the police don't count because they took on the thugs who were burning and looting. And he's saying that they're my constituency and I protect them. And I've only gotten started. And wait till I'm finished. You'll see who has the last laugh. So let's take some calls. Lou on WABC in New York. Lou, what do you see is going on here? What is Obama really up to?
Dr. Savage, I think you hit on it a few years ago when you were talking about something Obama had said when he was running for president and shortly thereafter about having a national police force. And I see these actions, especially the associates of him who were agitating all of these problems, not only in Ferguson but around the country, using this as a prelude for him to nationalize the police departments in our local
community. I see that from a mile away. And here's the speech. We don't have it right now, but I remember it. We need a private national security force just as strong, just as well-funded, just as powerful as the U.S. military, and the crowd cheered. That was just before he was elected. In other words, he needed his brown shirts. He needed his brown shirts. He has his Ernst Röhm. He has Ernst Röhm without the dueling scar. The only thing missing are the brown shirts and one police force that answers only to him and his goon squad. This is how dangerous this is, Lou. But you apparently are one of the only of the 9 million in New York who see this.
Well, it hit me so well, and you always reminded me every time that let a crisis go to waste, and that's what I see them doing.
This is not a crisis going to waste. This is a crisis he created. Never, ever forget that. I'm sending you a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War so you can hit a Republican over the head with it, not by hitting them with the book, you see, but by reading it and sending them an email. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That is not only going to reach out and listen to law enforcement, community activists, other stakeholders, but is going to report to me specifically in 90 days with concrete recommendations, including best practices for communities where law enforcement and neighborhoods are working well together.
What?
How do they create accountability? How do they create transparency? How do they create trust? And how can we at the federal level work with state and local communities to make sure that some of those best practices get institutionalized?
You mean our police are no good? Eric Holder is good and they're no good? You mean the ones who burned and looted in Ferguson are the good guys and the cops are the bad guys? Chapter 1, graduating to treason, ? Thomas Corwin to Abraham Lincoln, 1861. He wrote this. He said, I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air everywhere around us. It goes by the name of patriotism. That's in my book. I warned you what was coming. Some of you believe in me. Some of you read the book. Some of you said that I'm prophetic. Some of you say you're salvation for the country. But for most of America, the band plays on. It goes on and on and on. The ship has hit an iceberg. The captain is out of control. He took us right into an iceberg. He's grinding the hull against the ice. The ship is taking on water, and he's going on and on with his college lecture about bad police and good rioters. And he brings into the White House none other than the lowest of lowlives in America, Al Sharpton, to lecture the police of America on how to behave. Now, here is a man you have to understand who built his career through deceit and violence. And now he's an advisor to the president. I can rest my case, I can go on. But you have to ask again, why are Obama and Holder and Sharpton, because they're a triumvirate, they're a troika, keeping the Ferguson hate alive? Call them a troika. It's a big word. Something that you probably haven't heard recently, but the word troika is a loaded word. For those of you who know what I'm referring to, the troika of Obama, Holder, and Sharpton Troika, T-R-O-I-K-A, Troika. Look it up. The Troika keeps the hate alive, not the hope alive. From keep the hope alive to keep the hate alive. White man surrounded by a mob of black youths and a Hispanic youth who beat him to death with a hammer in front of his wife. The Bosnian community is outraged. They're marching. And Schlepper Smith is not to be seen anywhere. CNN wrapped up the truck and left. Not interested. Zamir Bezic was a teenager beaten to death with a hammer, with hammers, by a group of teens of color at an intersection in St. Louis early Sunday morning. It's not made it to the news because it doesn't fit the narrative of the gentle giant who was shot by a Ku Klux Klan member in a police uniform. He fled Bosnia in the aftermath of the civil war in America. He found work. He found friends. See, he found work. He didn't move into public housing. Took a job. Found friends. He found love. And a pack of thugs of color beat him to death with hammers as his terrified fiancée watched early Sunday morning. Not a hate crime, says the authorities. His fiancée said the last thing he did before he actually died was pull me out of the way and put himself in front of me, basically giving up his life for me. In other words, they were going to either rape her or beat her up. The attack occurred in the southwest St. Louis street, 20 miles from Ferguson. You know what Ferguson means today, of course. Police have said the murder of Bezic, age 32, does not appear to be racially motivated. It is not a hate crime. Oh, the married immigrant was driving his car when the teens of color approached at a traffic light and began striking it with hammers. He got out and confronted them. Then they killed him. On Monday evening, that's last night, Robert Mitchell, 17, was charged as an adult with first-degree murder and armed criminal action and death. So far, Al Sharpton hasn't come and screamed no justice, no peace about him. But we're waiting. We're waiting for the other bowling ball to drop. A 15- and 16-year-old suspects have been taken into custody. Police said there's no parallel. So-called investigators don't believe the incident is anywhere related to Ferguson. It's not being investigated as a hate crime. Well, I would say the federal government should do it, but there is no federal government. There is only a troika. You understand what's going on? How do you feel about this? Is this a hate crime? What is it, a love crime? A crowdfunding site has been set up to help fiancé and funeral, and as of midday Monday, nearly $10,000 has been raised. So they destroyed a family, and the president didn't say one word about it. How do you feel about this? Neil on WFTL, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, you see, I don't like the way how you're going about it as far as the president and the thing that happened in Ferguson is concerned, because...
Well, first of all, do you know the facts? Hold on, let's back up before we get into an argument and I hang up on you. Do you know the facts of the Ferguson incident? If you don't, we can't have a conversation. How did this all begin in Ferguson?
Okay.
No, don't give me an okay. I'm not one of your homies. How did it begin?
It began when the kid went into the store and he stole a box of cigarettes and somebody called the police.
Hold on now. What else did he do in the store?
Well, he assaulted somebody in the store.
And who was the somebody he assaulted in the store?
I believe he assaulted, it was a little person. I'm not sure exactly.
Correct. He beat up, he threw a little Indian immigrant around like a rag doll and robbed from his store. So the man, when he got up from the floor of his store, called 911. There was an APB out for someone who looked like this, and the cop was driving around. Do you understand that is the most important pretext of the whole story?
That's not the whole heart of the story, Michael.
Well, no, because you and the other haters leave out the pretext. You make it sound like the cop was hunting for a black man to shoot.
I'm not saying that the cop was hunting for a black man. All I'm saying is that based on the history in America, based on the racial history between blacks and whites in America, this is, you know, that anything that comes out that's black and white, it's going to be high emotion, high volatility. And if there's a case like this, then everything needs to be in the open where everybody can see and hear for themselves. Why is it that a grand jury...
So wait, hold on. So far you've shown that you do know what happened. And you do know he wasn't just an innocent boy walking around the streets. And you do know that the grand jury testimony included that of a black witness who said he tried to knock the cop over. There were witnesses who said he tried to take his gun. His blood was found on the door of the police car. You know all of that, right?
Yes.
All right. So what do you think of Rudy Giuliani, 16 years a great prosecutor in New York, a reduced crime to a very low rate, who knows what a thug looks like, who said this never should have even gone to a grand jury. It was an open and shut case. There was no crime committed by the cop. Would you say Rudy Giuliani is wrong?
I lived in New York for a number of years when Rudy Giuliani was mayor. Rudy Giuliani is not wrong. But the public, Michael, the public needs to know exactly what happens, how it happened, and everything needs to be laid out in front of them for this race tension between blacks and whites.
Well, all right, so now you're making sense. So how come Obama took the time not to lay out what happened, but to make it worse? Why did he give a speech saying that they're going to rein in the cops now in communities of color? He could have said, now, wait a minute, simmer down, everyone. This case is not being seen for what it was. The jury heard the testimony. It's not exactly what you may think it is. He could have gone a long way to stopping the agitation right now, but he didn't. He's keeping it going. Don't you see that?
You said that Obama, Sharpton are keeping the Cold War alive. Listen, I'm not a supporter of Al Sharpton based on his history and the things that he supported because he's an opportunist. And I'm not a supporter of Louis Farrakhan based on his history and the things that he support. But as the president of the United States, I'm not even a supporter of President Obama. But as the president, the man on top, he can't just willy-nilly and say anything like what Michael Savage can say on the radio. He has to be careful with what he says and how he says it.
100% right. So let me ask you, was it careful of him to say that there exists a distrust between too many police departments and too many communities of color? Do you think that that went to calming the communities of color down or giving them justification for their agitation?
I mean, the truth is an offense, but it's not a sin. It's true. There's a lot of distrust in communities between African Americans and police officers. It doesn't always happen. I'm a black man myself. I have my wife. We have our four children, and we take care of our family, and we live a good, God-blessed life. But at the same time, I see a lot of young African American males out there. You know, they haven't been raised up the same way how I've been raised up. They haven't been taught. They didn't have a mother and a father in their house. And the way how the police officers...
Well, let's slow down. So that justifies burning and looting and holding up stores and walking in and beating up an immigrant who's working unlike them?
No, none of that is justified. But my...
You wouldn't have done that. You weren't the type who'd go in and rob cigarillos and beat up a little guy and then walk around like you were king, you know what? Because you had values. So what does a society do with so many people raised like wildings without any values? What do you do in that case? What do? You give speeches about communities of color who distrust the police, who are put there to protect the rest of us from them? I mean, let's clear the air here. What do you think the police are there for?
The police are there to protect...
I'll tell you why they're there. It's to protect men like you and your family from the wildings. You know damn right that you yourself are probably a big target in your own community.
Michael, look here. A lot of times the police can't even distinguish between me and the savages that are out there. They won't know the difference between me and them. All they're going to see is...
Wait. Where are you calling from? You're calling from Florida, correct?
Yeah. I lived in New York for a number of years. That's why...
No. I'm trying to ask what community you're in so I get a better feeling for you. You're an intelligent caller, and you're trying to have a reasoned discussion with me, and I respect that. But where in Florida are you calling from, roughly? I don't want to give an address. I'm asking.
On the brinks of Miami Gardens and North Miami Beach, right on the border right there.
All right, fine. I know the community well. I also know the community has a police force that's highly integrated racially. Is that not correct?
That's true, especially in Miami Gardens.
Well, thank you. So it's largely black and Hispanic police. So what do you mean the police are not respected by the community of color? They are a police community of color.
What I was saying is that...
In other words, they don't like the police because they can't get away with robbing and murdering. That's all in drug dealing. So now, of course they don't get along with the police if they're committing a crime.
Certain segments of our society, when I say our, I mean the black people society, they not even black people themselves want them in that community. But when you go to...
Most of the black people in those communities want more police, not less police. You know that's true, Neil.
But certain parts, For example, when I lived in New York for those many years, you know, to be honest with you, I've never really faced any of this driving while black or been harassed by the police, because even in any example that I have, I've been stopped by the police at night before, and the first thing I do is just follow procedure. Take my hands, put them on the dashboard, and everything went copacetic between me and them.
But wait, Neil, I'm a white guy, and I was told by my father and his friends, if you're ever stopped by a policeman, never argue with him. Do exactly what he's telling you to do. And none of us got shot. None of us got beaten up by the police because they are the law. You understand that they're the law. They're the law officers. And the last thing you want to do is challenge somebody with a gun and a badge. You understand that? You know that. You know that. That's why you're successful, because you can deal with authority in a constructive manner. So the question becomes, how do you and I, Neil, Michael and Neil, what do we do with hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people raised without your values?
It's got to start with each person. It's got to start with each person.
I know, but what do? You attack the police for doing their job? Is that what you do, what the Troika is doing? Obama, Holder, and Sharpton ripping the police apart?
No, you got to encourage the police, because the police are putting their lives on the...
You have to encourage the police. So how is Obama encouraging them by holding a hearing saying it's their problem? You see, look, Neil, here's the thing, Neil. I can hear in your sigh that your gut instincts are good and on the right side of everything, but your sympathies are with the communities of color, and you're starting to identify too much with those who you never, ever, ever associated with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hear, Neil. But you're torn. You're torn as a black male yourself between what you know is going on and you know what's right, and your, I hate to say it, but your natural sympathies towards your own people. Now, you know, Neil, you're not alone in this. How many times have I talked about the Jewish community, about crimes committed by phonies in the Jewish community who put on the airs of religion and then rip people off? You know what I'm talking about. I've seen story after story. I go berserk on these stories. And you know what kind of emails I get? They say, how can you attack Jews? I'm not attacking Jews. I'm attacking criminals who happen to be Jewish. And I think in your own head, you have to say to yourself, Neil has to say, you know what? I'm a black man, but I'm not attacking other blacks. I'm attacking criminals who happen to be black, or criminals who happen to look like me. They're not you, Neil. They're not your brothers. They're not your brothers, Neil. They're just not your brothers. I may look like a lot of people, but I'm no what like them. I'm nothing like them. 90% of my people are psychopathic left-wing fanatics. I don't talk to them. The old family I left behind in New York, I want nothing to do with them. They're like old locks rotting on a counter floor. I want nothing to do with their psychopathic left-wing behavior in a time like this. Look, we're not going to solve this problem together, Neil, but we've come a long way in discussing it and putting things on the table, and I'm very happy you know all the facts about Ferguson. Please stay on the line. Jim, get Neil's address. We're going to send him a free copy of Stop the Coming Civil War wrapped in a plain brown wrapper. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CON. Yes. We found the soundbite, which has been buried, and no one has it in the media. We have it. This is Obama, the real Obama, before he was elected, about a private national security force and nationalizing all our local police departments the way it was done in Germany in the 1930s. Listen.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Do you have any idea what he just said? You understand this is part of his real agenda, part of his revolutionary vision? If he should get that nationalized police force, there will be a civil war in this country. If he gets control of your local police, we will no longer be the United States of America. We will be post-Weimar Germany. We will be Germany, circa 1930. Study your history, my friends, or you're condemned to repeat it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sympathy for the devil on the Savage Nation. Because the troika of Obama, Holder, and Sharpton are keeping the hate alive. They're keeping the Cold War between blacks and whites alive. In fact, I'm not a young man. I don't feel like an old man, but I've been around a while, and I would say that in my lifetime, the race relations have never been worse. How do you like that? Why do you suppose that is? It's not that it's an ordinary African-American politician who became president. This man has a history, just as there's a story to the Ferguson story that goes all the way back to the convenience store that was, let us say, burgled. He robbed a few cigars, and no one should die for that. Beat up the guy, shouldn't die for that. So the cop was looking for him, and it turned into a struggle, and according to the grand jury testimony, the cop shot him as he charged him. That's the testimony. Now, Obama, instead of going on the air over and over again and saying, this has got to stop, this has got to end, anyone who burns or loots will be prosecuted to the full extent of the federal law, just cut it out. He didn't. He attacked the police. Now he's attacking the police. And what he's getting at is he wants to become the chief policeman in America. He wants to take a guy like Al Sharpton, one of the most vile people in the history of the Republic, a street agitator of the lowest order, and what, make him into the leader of the police in America? Listen to clip number 12, if you don't mind.
As I said last week, in the wake of the grand jury decision, I think Ferguson laid bare a problem that is not unique to St. Louis or that area and is not unique to our time, and that is a simmering distrust that exists between too many police departments and too many communities of color.
What a liar he is. What a liar. Of course there's distrust. If you're committing a crime, you don't like the police. If you're dealing drugs, you don't like the police. If you're burglarizing your own people, you don't like the police. But ask the law-abiding people in these communities what they want, more police or less police. I guarantee you they want more. The activists are working hand in glove with the drug dealers who don't want the police presence as strong as it's been. You have to understand this is connected to a larger situation, a larger problem. You've got to understand there's a lot of useful idiots out there, like the college girls from the nearby communities who are all worked up over this. They don't know the whole facts. But let's look at the bigger picture. So Obama says there's simmering distrust between too many police departments, too many communities of color. So let's go back to New York City in the 1920s and 30s, when there was a large number of European immigrants, Italian, Jewish, Irish. There was a tremendous distrust between the New York City Police Department and Italian communities, Irish communities, and Jewish communities, because the Italian communities, the Irish communities, and Jewish communities had a lot of criminals in them. So there was a lot of distrust. Oh, yeah, Murder Incorporated, a Jewish gang of murderers, they didn't like the police. The Italian gangsters didn't like the police. The Westies didn't like the police, so this is nothing new, but he's making it a racial issue, of course. Like, when has there not been a distrust between criminals and the police department? So what's the answer here? Well, the answer, obviously, is to fix the problem. And that means that you have to have a national security force, no longer local police, no longer individual police departments. No, you have one national police force reporting to Al Sharpton. Listen to President Obama in 2009 before you even heard his name, before he was a glint on the eyes of the American people. Listen to this speech.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
So people who heard this speech, the educated electorate, have said for a few years now, is Obama planning a Gestapo-like civilian national security force? They've been worried about it because they know everything he's done has been to the detriment of our freedoms. Everything he's done has been either just skirting the law or breaking the law itself. So are you afraid that he wants to create a force that could kick down your door in the middle of the night and haul you off to a re-education camp? Or do you think that this is overblown? Because he goes on and on. Listen to clip 14, where again he says he's going to be the new dictator of what police do in America. Listen to 14.
They are going to co-chair a task force that is not only going to reach out and listen to law enforcement, community activists, other stakeholders, but is going to report to me specifically,
specifically,
in 90 days with concrete recommendations, including best practices for communities where law enforcement and neighborhoods are working well together. How do they create accountability? How do they create transparency? How do they create trust? And how can we at the federal level work with state and local communities to make sure that some of those best practices get institutionalized?
Meaning he wants to do nationalized police light. But, you know, if only he would look in a mirror, Pinocchio Obama. If Pinocchio Obama would look in a mirror and ask himself, how could he create transparency? How could I, Pinocchio Obama, create trust? How can I, Pinocchio Obama, work with the people to make sure that some of the best practices get institutionalized? But Pinocchio Obama doesn't ask himself that question. Instead, he refers to street activists and agitators instead of the American people. Now, let's go to the issue of the militarized equipment that was being used. Let's go to clip 16 for a minute. Robert, please play 16.
Second, one of the issues that came up during the response to Ferguson back in August was the issue of military equipment being utilized in the face of protests that may be taking place in the community. It raised a broader issue as to whether we are militarizing domestic law enforcement unnecessarily. And is the federal government facilitating that?
Now, that's a hot question. That's a real hot question. Now, let's say your husband or your father, or your brother, or your uncle was a policeman, and you're living in community, or you have them working in communities where the gangsters, the gangbangers, have AK-47s and other assault weapons. What would you like them to do, go out there naked? Would you like your father or your brother or your husband to go out and face these thugs without body armor? How would you like him to get into the community, like in San Francisco and Nancy Pelosi's backyard? Would you like him to go on a bicycle, a track bicycle, in a pair of shorts with mace and pink tires? No, he has to go there protected. He has to wear a uniform, number one. He has to have body armor, number two. He needs military equipment, number three, in order to protect him and his brothers and his sisters in the police department when he goes into these hot zones from being killed. So how would you have them do that? Riding pink bicycles? Are you people nuts? Are you not looking at reality here? Now, there's another story we haven't touched on yet. We can go off the Ferguson. We can stay on this for a while, leave a few lines open, which is the upward mobility story, which I touched on yesterday. And it's an important story because these left-wing communist professors, such as those on tenure at Davis, and Davis has a wonderful veterinary school. It's a shame what they did to the UC system under Jerry Brown. When I first moved to California in 1974, it was one of the best systems, if not the best, public system in the world. And I proudly entered the University of California at Berkeley after two master's degrees elsewhere. I entered Berkeley in 1975. I earned my PhD by 1978. Maybe a land record for a degree. A first-rate degree where the thesis was published as a book. Those of you who are in academia know what that means. unfortunately, under 30 years of this depression of affirmative action and communism under other names, they've put idiots into virtually every department except the hard sciences, I would hope, where they can't proselytize, let's say, nuclear physics, although I don't even know what they've done there. I would assume that even in nuclear physics, they put dummies ahead of the geniuses. I'm pretty sure they would have done that by now. But here's a UC Davis professor from Scotland, no less, a white man, by the way, if you think this is all about blacks and whites, it isn't. It's about far-left activism or communism or socialism, if you will, and the American way, which is the opposite of that, in case you don't know your history. Listen to what this tenured cream puff says in clip 5.
America has no higher rate of social mobility than medieval England or pre-industrial Sweden. That's the most difficult part about talking about social mobility, is because it is shattering people's dreams.
Now, skip 6, Robert, and go to 7.
If you look at the population as a whole, we see tremendous continuity generation after generation in people's status. And so you'll see the Latino population in the United States is poor now, and it's predictable that it'll be poor 200 years from now. If you look at the black population, again, you see tremendous continuity in staying at the bottom of society. Even groups as obscure as people with French surnames in the United States constitute an underclass and have remained at the bottom of the social distribution for the last 100 years or more.
Now, of course, this fool is so off the wall, it's hard to begin, but I'll begin since I understand statistics. Well, let's start with the Latino population, the Hispanic. I don't use the word Latino. It's a radical leftist word. The Hispanic population is the more correct usage of the term. If you bulk into this population that you're studying, the waves of illegal aliens, the millions of them that have been swarmed in or have swarmed themselves in, going back to Bush, of course they're going to be poor. They don't speak English. They don't read and write English. Most of these illegal aliens are illiterate in Spanish, in case you don't know that. They can speak it, but they can't read it or write it. Many of them, or most of them, are literate in their own language. You don't know that as well. But if you understand that a certain modicum of education is necessary to move forward in a society, and that you cannot force people to speak your language, you have to speak the language of the land, which was known for centuries as the lingua franca, the language of the people. And then you tell them, no, you don't have to speak the language of the land. You just impose your language on everybody else. You'll see how well you'll do. Of course you're going to see populations that remain poor forever. But if you look at America as a whole and you look at Zuckerberg, I would say Zuckerberg went beyond his father. I would say Jeff Bezos went beyond his father. I would say that Microsoft's chairman went beyond his father. I would say that Rupert Murdoch, an immigrant, went beyond his father in America. I would say that Jesse Jackson went beyond his father. We know Al Sharpton has to do better than his father. We know that Barack Obama did better than his father, who died an alcoholic, unfortunately, in Kenya, because he couldn't make it there as a politician, so he fell apart. That happens to people, but he did better than his father. How many other people do I have to name who've done better than their fathers or mothers? Oprah Winfrey, maybe hundreds you can name, thousands, probably hundreds of thousands. I take particular offense at this statement by this dumb professor, because I am an immigrant son. In fact, you know, it was a great speech. Robert, do you have that speech I gave on the boat last summer? It's somewhere in the archives. It might even be on my own website. Doug would have it. See if you could dig it up. And I talked about sitting on a yacht on the west side of the Hudson River this summer that happened to be owned by my son, who started with nothing other than a smart mother and father who made him work very hard and go to school. We didn't give him any money, nothing. I had nothing to give him. He started the business on a card table. Nevertheless, I was standing there talking about an immigrant son, and I was about 2 miles from the Statue of Liberty. And I said that looking at the Statue of Liberty, only in America, where his grandfather, who he never met because he died young, working his heart out in a little tailor shop to give his son, my father, a better life, and then hopefully his descendants, grandson, great-grandson, a better life, died of a heart attack at 47, that only in America could an immigrant come here and have this kind of success in future generations. And everyone loved the story. in the small audience that day. So, of course, there's upward mobility in America. It's why people flock in here. Why are the dreamers coming here, Mr. Obama, if there's no hope in America? What are you bringing them in for? To bring us down or bring them up? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The fact is that the 3.5 months, this was no jury of substance, no jury of integrity, no real American. But this was a hangman's noose. It's not right, and we all deserve better.
Yes.
One of the issues that came up during the response to Ferguson back in August was the issue of military equipment being utilized
in the face of Obama, Jackson, Holder, Sharpton, switch them around. The troika of hate, the troika of racial disharmony are keeping the lie and the hate alive. Not the hope. It's gone from hope to hate. His new button for 2016 should be hate, elect a Democrat. A little rainbow with hate in the middle would work. It's just crazy. I mean, we're like, why? This is Animal Farm. We're watching Animal Farm in front of our eyes. We're watching 100 different novels I read while growing up about what would happen when an authoritarian society emerged. Right in front of my eyes, and the average American's a moron, a dummy. The hat on backwards, all he cares about is stuffing his mouth, getting drunk and watching a sports game, and fornicating. That's the average American moron, and I don't know in what order. Stuffing the face, fornicating, watching a sporting match, doesn't know what's going on in his own country. That's why there's no England anymore, and that's why soon there'll be no America anymore. So I've asked some questions today on the show, a lot of them, as a matter of fact. But the best is yet to come. Here is Nancy Pelosi saying that San Francisco is the model for living the gospel. I swear, listen, fire it.
And I think that we have to challenge all of us in public policy. Certainly not here in San Francisco, which is the model of living the gospel. But in public policy,
did you hear that?
This
is Pelosi saying San Francisco is the model of living the gospel. That's the gospel of what? Beating each other naked up during the leather parade? Is she crazy or is she really crazy?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
We are talking about the troika of Obama, Holder, Sharpton keeping the Ferguson hate alive, blaming the police instead of the thugs. We're also talking about in the Savage Nation the tenured college professor who says there's no upward mobility in the United States of America. Listen to clip 8, please, on the Savage Nation.
It's absolutely the case that America is a relatively rich society, though there are plenty of other European societies that are also very rich. But I think an important thing for people is what their relative social position is. And the news there is that it's very hard for groups in society to change their relative social mobility, except in a very large number of generations.
It must have been all the haggis that this guy ate back in Scotland that affected the brain. But, you know, haggis is a vile dish. And perhaps after centuries of eating haggis, the brain matter goes. But there's no sense to what he's saying. Nonsense whatsoever. Again, this is communist rhetoric. There's no chance of getting ahead in America. There's no fairness. It's all part of the entire conspiracy to destroy our way of life. I disagree with him 100%. You know it's a lie. That's why millions keep trying to break into the country. What are the dreamers here for? They're dreaming to go down the social ladder? Tell me what the millions of dreamers that Obama's bringing in are coming here for, to work their way down the social ladder or up the social ladder, you idiot. Now, I myself, I'm an immigrant son, and I gave a little talk, a six-minute talk on this last summer, off the Hudson River in New York. So let's listen to it now, Robert, please.
Is there anyone down below who should be up here that we can browbeat for a few minutes? 100 years ago, my grandfather arrived at Ellis Island in steerage. many of you have a similar story. Maybe it was more than 100 years ago for you. I'm a first-generation American, so I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new world. So when I talk about immigration, I sort of know what I'm talking about. So last night, we went to dinner in Shunley with my agent, Ian. Come back, didn't say a word in the cab. Getting out, I'm paying the guy or whatever. He says, are you Michael Savage? He was a Haitian immigrant. You Michael Savage? He said, I'm like your grandfather. I'd rather have my arm cut off than take welfare. See, people don't understand how diverse diversity really is. They assume that it's fractured in this country, that blacks think one way, Hispanics think another way, whites think another way. But we have all these divisions within my grandfather, Sam, I call the astronaut of my family. It was as though he went to the moon. Look where he came. Didn't speak a word of English, came here 7 years out of the family. Blah, blah, blah. Earned money as a little tailor, sent it home, brought my grandmother, brought my father, and died at very young age, 47, heart attack. You know, that's how they work so hard, whatever. Now, then my father died at 57. Never really made it big in the country. Had a little store, 12 blocks from here on Ludlow Street, an antique store. And I wrote about it in Train Tracks. It was all in that book. Owns this yacht. And I'm not here to boast. I'm just here to say it's the American dream. We have lived the American dream through extreme hard work. People don't know we worked 24/7. My wife works 24/7. I shouldn't say it. Companies don't run themselves, as you know, whether it's Westwood One, John and Lou Dickey, Hachette. Someone's running those companies. If salesmen aren't producing, they're fired, right? I heard silence go through the room. I mean, if my son ran Westwood, one half of you wouldn't be here, for example.
I'll be the bad guy tonight.
He just fired half his staff in New York today. But anyway, the point is, we're living the dream. But what my grandfather fled and his great-grandfather fled was communism, Bolshevism, revolution. What do we have in America today? We have $27 million apartments on Jane Street. I took a bicycle ride today. I saw a building. It was a former nursing home, the painter told me. Red brick building looked like a school. So I said, how much do these cost? Are they condos? He said, no, man, they're for billionaires. How much are they? He said, $25 million for these two floors, and they're putting $5 million into it. I said, what? He said, yes, that's what they're putting into this building. This is what's going on. We have two societies, right? Three, maybe? High, low. God knows where the middle class is going to end up. But we have people who would like to stop that. We have people who would like to end it. We'd like people who like to take it away, turn the city back, turn the country back. And the answer is somewhere in the middle, isn't it? Isn't it somewhere in the middle where everyone can dip their beaks, as the Godfather said? Everyone can feed a little bit in our country. But we don't want Bolshevism. We don't want communism, do we? But we have the same forces that operated in Russia are now operating in the West. And that's what we have to be cognizant of. And that's what my show is about. It's not the extreme element of screw the poor, let them eat cake, let them eat peanuts. The issue is don't take from those who have worked so hard. Don't steal it from them, because without them there'd be nothing. We'd have one salami in the butcher store like they had in the Soviet Union. Remember what Russia was like when you were a kid? Many of you are over 50. Remember the images of the Soviet Union? People lining up around the block, one salami in the butcher store. Why? Why would the butcher invest in a piece of meat? Why would the farmer raise the cows if he couldn't sell it and make a profit? People don't even understand what the profit motive is. It's not all evil. It's become a dirty word, right? Hasn't capitalism become a dirty word? Is it a dirty word? The whole world runs on that. So what I'm saying is, thank God we have a capitalist system. It's not evil. It's good. And I'm glad we're here. I'm not going to get to the gecko thing of greed is good. I'm not going. I didn't go there. All I said was capitalism is good. Investment is good. Business is good. Sales are very good. Ratings are even better. And I want to thank you all for taking time out on a sweaty August day. It was a last minute thing. My son's boat was in Fort Lauderdale, and I conclude with this. And we're supposed to go on a father and son vacation. We've never done it. We're both afraid of each other. We're both too hard-headed to spend any time in a tent. Hunting moose. Fishing. We don't like killing things. We like eating them, but not killing. So we were going to go to Alaska, then we were going to go to Canada. Then we said, what the hell are we going to do in Alaska? Well, you can look at the hookers without teeth in the bar. What the hell? Well, what are we going to do in Canada? Well, there's always the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I mean, I don't know. So he said, Dad, let me send the boat up to New York. I said, okay, that was last week. I said, okay, if you do, I'll invite my friends from Radio Cumulus, publishers Kate Hachette, and a few other people. And here you are, and you came on the last minute. It's a hot night. I'm sure you'd rather be getting ready for your Labor Day weekend. I want to thank you all for coming to join us here, and may we all enjoy the success that we deserve. Thank you very much for being here.
So that's the personable Michael Savage with three drinks under his sails. It was a hot August night, and the wine was very good, and the crowd was very nice, and it was a little different than radio. You can hear it. But it's a true story. It's an immigrant son, and it shows upward mobility. Now, you could say, oh, the decks were stocked because you're a white guy. Hey, everyone opened the skids up for you. Well, it wouldn't be true if you thought that. It'd be true that you're thinking it, but it wouldn't be true because that's not what happened. I was blocked every step of the way. Whatever I did, I had to fight for. I had to fight for everything I ever did. And then, after I got my doctorate from a great university, I was told white men need not apply. So don't tell me the skids were greased for me. The opposite was true. In many cases, the skids were taken away from me and given to people like Barack Obama. And take a look at what we got from that. But nevertheless, it's not about Obama. It's about the American dream. It's very much alive, which is why millions of people are clamoring to break into our nation. And everywhere you look, you see immigrants working very hard. Such as that little Indian shopkeeper in Ferguson, Missouri, who instead of going into a public welfare situation or moving into a housing project, saved his money, opened a little liquor store in a bad neighborhood, as is often done by immigrants. That's the only place they can get a toehold. And he had to put up with thugs pilfering stuff every day. But that day he got fed up when the guy, the gentle giant, robbed the cigarillos. And he stood up to him. The guy was about 5'2". He stood up to the 6'6" giant Brown, and Brown threw him around the store like a rag doll. And so the little immigrant shopkeeper, who I relate to, by the way, for obvious reasons, called 911. And, of course, the rest is history. It would be a shame. It's a terrible thing what happened. If Brown had not resisted arrest, if Brown had not assaulted the policeman, if Brown had followed orders, he wouldn't have been shot. So for Obama to go on and on about the police being the problem is more of the same of the Cold War he has fostered ever since he seized power. Just as he reignited the Cold War with Russia, which, by the way, was largely over. We all loved Russia, remember? Before this wonderful uniter got in the office. Would you ever believe that Obama would turn us back 50 years with Russia? Well, he's done it. First over Crimea, then over Ukraine, which is none of our business. Now he's turned blacks against whites against blacks, again turning us back 50 years. Whether it's on purpose or by accident almost doesn't matter. All I know is that it's happening. So everything he has touched has gone retrograde, as the astrologers would say. And if you think he's alone, you're mistaken. There are many out there who've made their fortunes on hate. Here is perhaps the worst of them all, clip 11, please. The worst of them all. Listen to this one.
The fight ain't over. And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round.
Ooh,
you won the first round, Mr. Prosecutor, but don't cut your gloves off. Because the fight's not over. Justice will come to Ferguson.
Is there a black listener to this show who believes Al Sharpton is fighting for you? Can any African-American listener to this show, whether you don't agree with anything I ever say, do you actually believe Al Sharpton is in it for you? This guy was born into a middle-class family and he acts like he's a guy from the streets. Can you believe this man? Okay, let's go to the callers. Let's go to WMAL in Washington, D.C. Sylvester, thank you for holding so long. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike Savage? This is my first time calling you, sir. Enjoy your show, but I kind of disagree with you on there because you got a little bit of half-truth, the glass half-empty, half-full. What the black community is talking about is there's an epidemic in America of police officers killing people in America every 28 hours that aren't being prosecuted. Now, on the other side of that, what if there was an epidemic in America of police officers being killed by the black people? Americans would be just as outraged. Now, I understand, and
let's pause for a minute, and let's look at your statement. An epidemic of police killing people every 28 hours. Are they killing people, innocent people? Everyone of them is innocent? Or some of them are committing a crime? I mean, I'm not following you.
If they're committing a crime and the police officers are going to arrest them or they encounter...
Okay, now on that I happen to agree with you. There's an overreaction going on in the police world that has to be looked at. But it's not aimed solely at blacks. You have to understand that. I happen to know police who agree with me, older line cops who knew how to control themselves, are telling me that the new generation of cops are being culled from a very, very low pool of applicants, and that many of them are frightened, they have no self-control, and they're too trigger-happy. I've heard it from police. I've heard it myself, and it's not just aimed at black people. That's the thing to remember. Many of them are scared out of their minds, and they shoot first and ask questions later. I have to say that because that's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Well, you know, I want to add to that. I understand and I agree that police. I agree with you, and I believe that police officers are entitled to go home safe every night and do the job of protect and serve. However, just because you're a police officer doesn't necessarily mean that you're above the law, and doesn't mean that you don't ever commit crime. Now, Michael,
100% right, but I don't believe there's an epidemic of police killings of innocent black people. You see, that's where you and I disagree.
Disagree with me, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree. But what I want to tell you here, that's a fact. If you live in the black community and you know this, you're well aware of this. Now, we're well aware Michael Brown committed a crime and he deserved to be arrested and have his day in court. Just like if Darren Wilson committed a crime, he needed to be indicted and have his day in court as well.
Now, well, let's slow down, though. You're speaking as though there was no grand jury testimony. There was a grand jury. It wasn't the Ku Klux Klan meeting of white-robed racists. It was a grand jury hearing. They heard evidence. And at the end of the confrontation, Brown allegedly or apparently charged the police officer with his head down like a football player coming at him to knock him over. And the cop knew that if he got knocked over, this guy would have grabbed his gun and shot him dead in the street, like has happened many, many times. So what would you have done if you were Wilson and you try to apprehend the criminal and the guy tried to slam the door on you and take your gun away? Tell me what you would do.
Okay, well, here's what I want to say. I want to address both of those issues, the grand jury and the fact that Mike...
Then hold on, because I think you need to be heard. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation to hear this gentleman on the issue of Ferguson.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is the Savage Nation, and we're talking about the real inequality gap in America, which is between truth and lies. That's right. The real inequality in America exists between the lies of the troika in the White House, Obama, Holder, and Sharpton, and the truth of actually what's going on in this country. Sylvester on MAL has a minute to make his final point. Sylvester, fire away. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. First of all, the whole grand jury deal, the prosecutor's job is to prosecute and hand down charges. But instead, what he did was he passed it to the grand jury. Now, let's be clear on what the grand jury is. That's a group of 12 of your peers, not politicians, not policemen, not attorneys, not prosecutors, or any law officials, but a group of your peers, which were 9 whites and 3 blacks. Now, once they're given the evidence, 9 out of those 12 have to find probable cause to indict. If 8 out of 4 or 5 probable cause.
I know all of this, but you have only a minute to summarize. So your main point is that the grand jury was a kangaroo court. Isn't that what you're saying?
Exactly. And
you're wrong. because someone much more valid than you, who's Rudy Giuliani, who was a prosecutor for 16 years, who knows the legal system, said it never should have even gone to a grand jury. He said it should have been dismissed the minute the evidence was presented. The cop was defending his life, Sylvester. So you're off on the wrong track, my friend. I'm sorry. The evidence does not support the lies coming out of the Al Sharpton brigades. Thanks for trying. Still be my friend. I hope you keep listening. We can always disagree and still like each other. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Real American music when they were still in America. Buddy Holly. What would be the national music of America today? Oh, that's not in the mood for it. I don't want to start inventing anything right now. I'm not in the mood. I'm in a good mood, not a great mood, but I'm asking, why are Obama, Holder, and Sharpton keeping the Ferguson hate alive? Why is this troika of division continuing the Cold War between the races? It's simple. It's simple. Their side lost in the last election. Obama made believe the election didn't happen. He lost the white vote, primarily the white working class, finally woke up to what he was doing to them. They abandoned him in droves. I marshaled millions of people to go vote who weren't voting. I mean, I'll take credit for it. I don't need anyone to say, yes, Mike, you're right. My book changed the course of the election. I begged those of you who weren't going to vote to go out and vote. I said, hold your nose and vote for Republicans. I knew that Boehner and McConnell would take it as a vote of confidence. I knew this would happen. But I said to you before Stop the Coming Civil War came out, after we win the election, our work begins. Do you remember that? That means don't put the book on a shelf. Take the book out of the bookshelf. Buy one for someone for the holidays. Yes, you heard me. Actively buy another copy of Stop the Coming Civil War for the holidays. And wake up another few hundred thousand or a few million people to what has actually been done to this republic by this gang, in plain English. And then you have to motivate the Republicrats. You have to move Boehner. That's a topic for another discussion, which we'll have in January, because this guy is a lost cause. Boehner must be dismissed from that post. He's a sellout from the get-go. The reason he announced, by the way, there's news about him today. He said they're not going to shut the government down. They're going to go along with Obama, and then they're going to take it on in 2015. He's lying. He's already thrown in the towel. He's given up. And the reason that he's given up is because he never really was fighting. He worked a deal out, in my opinion, with the Dems before the election, saying, I'll tell you what, we'll go along with immigration, flooding America with immigrants, illegals, rather, if you give us the pipeline, because they're only about money. The Republicans are only about big, 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 big money. I'm sorry, that hasn't changed. Don't fool yourself. Don't listen to the rubbish in the media. Oh, they're for the truth in the American way. Come on, wake up. Two corrupt parties, they're in it for themselves and their supporters. And we the people are just the cannon fodder. That's all. So don't believe for a minute, oh, they're in it for you. They're the good guys. They wear the white hats and the other ones wear the black hats. Come on, knock it off. Get real. Look at our corrupt political structure as a whole and you'll see what we're really doing. You'll see how rotten it is to the core. We need a parliamentary system to save us, where there's a whole group of parties representing a, you could have an Occupy party. Then they wouldn't be in the streets. They'd have to put on suits and ties and pretend that they don't really want to tear it all down. You could have a Black Panther party. On the other side, you could have a real conservative party. You could have several conservative parties in a coalition. And then Obama would have to declare himself for what he is. I mean, he represents a far-left radical wing of the Democrat Party, which isn't even a Democrat Party. The closest approximation to it would be the Radical Socialist Party, let's say, of Sweden. everyone says European socialism. Now, he's radical socialism, if you want to put it in a kind parliamentary system. But he certainly doesn't represent the American people. He doesn't represent even the Democrat Party. He just destroyed his own party. He set his party back 30 years. That's what he just did. But he's going ahead like nothing happened. He's moving further to the left, now dividing America even more over the unfortunate incident in Ferguson, and mentioning nothing today about the killing by four youths, black and Hispanic youths, who beat a European-American to death with hammers in the street in front of his terrified wife or fiancé. It has not made it to Fox News. It hasn't made it to CNN because white lives don't count. White lives don't matter to them. They have a narrative, and the narrative must be preserved at all costs in order to make certain that Anderson Cooper is still respected as the most stupid American media figure in the history of the medium, or that Shep Smith must continuously be seen for the doofus that he is. He has not once talked about the murder of this young white man in the area of Ferguson, even though thousands and thousands of members of the Albanian community have been out, Bosnian community, sorry, have been out in the streets. You have not seen a camera. Isn't that interesting? Not seen a camera on that. We're talking about that. Let's go to the callers. Michael on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, hello. If I may make one quick comment on your last caller. If so many innocent blacks are being gunned down by cops, why can't the black community find a suitable candidate to be their martyr? Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, they're all criminals. And, of course, now we have Big Mike. But what I called about was I called Barbara Lee's office. She's my representative. No one in her office, none of her staff, had any idea about this poor Bosnian being killed.
Well, that's right. You can blame Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, Reuters, and all the rest of them, AP, for not reporting the story of the Bosnian being beaten to death with hammers by a youth of young men of color, of whom Obama thinks they're all sacred and saintly, being picked upon by the evil police.
Yeah, she made a statement about...
Blame the media. Don't blame Barbara Lee. Barbara Lee is a jackal, in my opinion. Barbara Lee has always been a jackal, a laughingstock of a jackal. And only in America could someone of her low ilk have become a representative of any people. So that's all I have to say about Barbara Lee. There's nothing new about her. KVI, I guess this is in Seattle. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Are you up in Seattle?
Yes, I am.
Great.
Now, I want to tell you something that's going to brighten your day. I read on the Washington Post, which you know is a left-wing rag, just like the New York Times yesterday, that actually presents the true facts in the case. I think this is the only left, you know, the mainstream media to do this. Normally, you'd have all the stations stepping over each other with 60 Minutes and 2020 and Dateline, but nobody's presented the grand jury findings yet. But in this article says, Witness 10 proves Darren Wilson had a reasonable belief if he needed to shoot Michael Brown. And it lays out all the facts right there.
And let me tell you something. If a 130-pound white man was charging a police officer after a violent confrontation in the police officer's car, he would have been shot as well. See, that's being left out of the story. It was not the individual. It was not the individual's race that led to the shooting. It was his behavior.
I know, and more white.
See, the emphasis is on the wrong element here, but that's what you get when you have a divisive president. He could have said what I just said. It's unfortunate that Michael Brown was shot in this confrontation, but it had nothing to do with his race. It was about his behavior. That would have put the country at ease, wouldn't it? But then we wouldn't have Barack Obama, would we? We'd have a president that we can all rally around.
Can I make a quick suggestion?
Unless it's a bad one, sure.
No, this is a good one. Everyone should go to the dollar store or someplace cheap, buy a cheap hammer, and mail it to the networks.
I was afraid you were going to say they should go to a convenience store and rob cigarillos. Thank God you didn't say that.
Send them hammers and see if they get the message.
I thought you were going to do an experiment. Go rob cigarillos and see what happens to you.
No.
All right. Thanks for listening up on KVI in Seattle. 855-407-282 will get you into the Savage Nation. So it's not a hate crime. The young Bosnian was beaten with hammers in front of his wife by four young men of color. Been marches. The 32-year-old man who emigrated from a war-torn Bosnia 20 years ago for a better life was bludgeoned to death just Sunday by a group of hammer-wielding teenagers of color. That's all. His crime, he was white. And the crime is not being considered a hate crime by the local authorities. And he was a guy, they say, who was a good person who liked all races. There have been protests. And there's been no media coverage. None. But the St. Louis Police Department and Mayor Francis Lay are insisting Bezhik's death at the hands of black and Latino teenagers, black and Latino teenagers, was not based on racial or ethnic hate. Well, what was it based on then? What'd they beat him up for? They didn't rob him. They beat him up because he was a white man. No evidence has been released suggesting that the murder was racially motivated. That's amazing. That's really amazing. But a string of previous crimes involving minorities and Bosnians in a tough area of the southwest side of St. Louis has many in the Bosnian community questioning whether Bezhik's death was racially motivated. Of course it was. They beat him to death with hammers. Four men struck him with a hammer and fell to the ground. Then they beat him to death as he was on the ground like mad, insane jackals. They should get first-degree murder and be executed. Robert Joseph Mitchell, 17, has been charged as an adult with first-degree murder and armed criminal action early morning attack. I'm sure Al Sharpton will say it's because he had an impoverished upbringing and because he lived in a racist society, this man deserved to die. I'm sure President Obama will say nothing about it because it doesn't fit his narrative. And as I said, Obama's speech was shameful in blaming the police. He's an embarrassment from the get-go. Nothing he does is good for the country. This is a man whose gift of evil keeps on giving. And I don't understand why this goes on. How can he attack the police in Ferguson? How can he make it an issue of race when he knows it was an issue of behavior? The behavior of Brown led to his own death. Listen to clip number 12 and you'll see what I mean on the Savage Nation right
now. As I said last week, in the wake of the grand jury decision, I think Ferguson laid bare a problem that is not unique to St. Louis or that area and is not unique to our time. And that is a simmering distrust that exists between too many police departments and too many communities of color.
See, this is a left-wing agitator in the White House who has not learned from his success as a politician. He's gone from being a left-wing agitator, a low-level college agitator. He's now president, and yet he's still acting like he's a left-wing college agitator with the same rhetoric. This is the same crap you'd hear in a university dining hall, a faculty dining hall, the same crap the left-wing feeds each other. Communities of color is a code word from these universities. But it's not a community of color that was involved here. It was one thug who beat up a shopkeeper, an Indian immigrant, and robbed a few cigarillos. He didn't deserve to die, but that's not what he was shot for. The cop was looking for him because there was a 911 call. When the cop found him walking in the street after telling him to get on the sidewalk, he matched the description of the individual who beat up the shopkeeper and took the cigarillos and a few other items. So that's when it started. It ended with the thug charging the policeman. The policeman was in fear for his life. He shot him. So it was not the thug's color that was the motivating factor in the shooting. It was the thug's behavior. That's something that the president could have said in much more diplomatic terms than I. I, unfortunately, am not a politician. Well, fortunately, I'm only an average American with an opinion. And I see things the way I see them. Maybe you see things the way you see them. I can't change your opinion. I can only give you mine. And maybe it'll provoke you to think about yours again. I don't know. It's that simple. Let's go to some callers. A quick one right now. Dominic on WABC. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a point. Going back, I know you're talking about your family being immigrants and the way they came over to this country. But one fact that you didn't mention was that even though African Americans were over in this country, we didn't have half those opportunities that other people that came over here had.
So how did Obama get where he is?
Listen to what I'm saying.
No, yeah. So how did he get where he is? How did Al Sharpton get where he is if he had no opportunities? Explain that to me.
Yeah, but you're talking about two people out of how many numbers?
No, I'll name a few thousand for you if you have the time. Everywhere you look, you see successful people of color. But if you want to say that you're being held down because of your color, you can walk around and say that someone did it to you. I know many people who emigrated here the same time my grandfather did and never got anywhere. I suppose they could say it's because of a racist society. Everyone has an excuse to explain their failures.
So are you saying that African Americans were...
Well, are you saying someone helped my grandfather? Someone helped him? Who helped him?
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not...
Well, who helped him? He died at 47 trying to save money to build up his family. He wasn't on welfare. He worked 7 days a week. And he dropped dead of a heart attack. What do you mean? He was given special treatment? A little tailor from Russia? He was given no special help. There was no wink and a nod. There was no special secret handshake.
So you're going to tell me that African Americans was always on the same playing field as everybody else?
Stop bellyaching with the African American already. The universities bend over backwards. Look at Harvard. Take a look who they're letting in there. What are you talking about? Every university lets people in of color who don't have the same qualifications. You think I'm making this up?
Since when?
All right, have a nice day. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. From the Gettysburg Address to the Pettysburg Address, that's what Obama has done to us, pushing us into a new racial cold war. We have time for one last call in this segment on the Savage Nation. Larry on WABC in New York City. What's on your mind, Larry?
Hi, Dr. Savage. When they talk about police brutality of Officer Wilson, Michael Brown happened to be the second person he came upon that day. The first person that he came upon was Dorian Johnson, who came before him. Dorian Johnson didn't get killed. Dorian Johnson didn't get hurt. Because when Officer Wilson asked him to move along and move to the side of the street, Dorian Johnson moved. Nobody talks about that. It's obvious where Michael Brown was coming from. Also, when reading the reports, Michael Brown had a THC level of 9. I don't know what that means.
Well, in San Francisco City Hall, that's normal. That's an average day. So the marijuana is a non-issue because this is the city of the gospel, according to Nancy Pelosi, which includes a THC level of at least 9 every morning. They have that with their tofu and eggs. Excuse me, their tofu and egg whites. So the THC is not the issue. You know, in San Francisco and certain communities, it's normal to be stoned. All you have to do is be, let us say, sufficiently able to sign a welfare check. And so a THC level of 9 is a nothing. You can still put a fingerprint on a check, right? What's a THC level of 9? When you don't have to do anything all day but go around and rob cigarillos and candy and push people around who are half your size. That's all. Having fun yet?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
As I said last week, when any part of the American family does not feel like it is being treated fairly.
Try the voters, Obama.
That's a problem for all of us. It's not just a problem.
I'm a member of the American family, and my vote doesn't count.
A particular community or a particular demographic.
What a lot! What a skilled liar.
It means that.
But who is he selling this to?
As strong as a country as we can be, and when applied to the criminal justice system, it means we're not as effective in fighting crime as we could be.
Look, we've had. I don't know how to put it where you'll accept it because many of you are so dumb. You're so sold on idiocy that you can't even understand what actually happened to this country when this man was foisted upon us. And what he's done to us over the last 6 years should have been evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence that we've had a revolution in America. What do you think he is saying to you? He's saying to you, your vote doesn't count because they didn't support me. He's saying the police don't count because they took on the thugs who were burning and looting. And he's saying that they're my constituency and I protect them. And I've only gotten started. And wait till I'm finished. You'll see who has the last laugh. Chapter 1, graduating to treason, ? Thomas Corwin to Abraham Lincoln, 1861. He wrote this. He said, I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air everywhere around us. It goes by the name of patriotism. That's in my book. I warned you what was coming. Some of you believe in me. Some of you read the book. Some of you said that I'm prophetic. Some of you say you're salvation for the country. But for most of America, the band plays on. It goes on and on and on. The ship has hit an iceberg. The captain is out of control. He took us right into an iceberg. He's grinding the hull against the ice. The ship is taking on water, and he's going on and on with his college lecture about bad police and good rioters. And he brings into the White House none other than the lowest of lowlives in America, Al Sharpton, to lecture the police of America on how to behave. Now, here is a man, you have to understand, who built his career through deceit and violence. And now he's an advisor to the president. I can rest my case, I can go on. But you have to ask again, why are Obama and Holder and Sharpton, because they're a triumvirate, they're a troika, keeping the Ferguson hate alive? Call them a troika. It's a big word. Something that you probably haven't heard recently, but the word troika is a loaded word for those of you who know what I'm referring to. The troika of Obama, Holder, and Sharpton, troika, T-R-O-I-K-A, troika, look it up. The troika keeps the hate alive, not the hope alive. From keep the hope alive to keep the hate alive. We've gone from the Gettysburg Address to the Pettysburg Address. And we have to ask ourselves why this president continues to continue the Cold War against this nation. Why does he continue with Al Sharpton and Eric Holder to continue the hate? Why does he continue the big lie that the police are the problem, not the criminals? Why does Obama, Sharpton, and Holder keep the Cold War alive? Now, there's an answer to this. And the answer can be found in John Boehner's tepid response to the election that just occurred 3 weeks ago. What occurred 3 weeks ago was a landslide, an earthquake, a shock to the body politic. But as you know, the deviant in the White House, and I use the word very, very carefully, he's a deviant from the Democrat Party. He's a deviant from liberalism. He's a deviant from the Constitution. He's a deviant from the American way. He's a deviant from the American political process. The deviant in the White House pretended the next day as though there had been no election. In fact, the deviant in the White House, surrounded by his deviant administration, said it doesn't matter what happened because come 2016, we'll show you who runs this country. So now let's circle back to what Boehner just did. Boehner basically said, oh, we're going to fund the government now. Eh, we'll fight immigration reform in 2015. So what you're hearing is Obama, Holder, Sharpton, and the other haters in the Deviancy Brigade are continuing the narrative for a couple of reasons. One, because they know they have Boehner's agreement to do nothing like shut the government down. Boehner and McConnell and the old line leadership in the Republican Party, in my opinion, worked out a deal behind the scenes where they said, we'll do nothing because we're afraid of you. We like the money flowing into the pockets of our supporters, the big oil, for example, big drilling. And we're not going to fight you on immigration. We're not going to shut this government down if you give us the Keystone XL pipeline when we vote on it in January. Don't veto it. So he said, fine, that's a good deal. So that's why Obama's more brazen than ever. It's because he's not really working alone. He's working with Boehner. He's working with Boehner. Now, the big question is, why is Obama so confident that the Democrats will win in 2016 given the results of the last election? Here's my analysis of that. It is because he knows that by flooding America with 5 to 50 million illegal aliens before the election, you can take any number you want. If they say 5, multiply it by 3. They've always said 11 million. Michael Savage has always told you 30 million. Suddenly the number came out to be 35 to 40 million. They said they're legalizing 5 million by not deporting them, so it means 15 million. They will all vote because they put in place illicit laws which say you're not allowed to ask for voter ID, which is absurd. There's not a Western nation that I know of that doesn't require voter ID. In fact, without voter ID, you have no government. You have no election. So with the illegal aliens and the mobs in the streets of Ferguson, Oakland, California, New York, Atlanta, wherever you look, the mobs of those who don't work, don't vote. He is counting on keeping them agitated right up until 2016 with the big lie that the police are the problem. And so he figures that if you take the demographics, they're going to win for the next 100 years. I could make another analogy, which is that Obama is like the leader of the Palestinians in Israel. And they've said, look, the Israelis are never going to go along with our viewpoint. So let me keep pandering to the Palestinians. They may kill Jews. They may throw Molotov cocktails. They may execute people in cafes. But you know what? We have to appease them because they're our people. And so we'll blame the Israelis for the terrorism. And so Obama's now blaming the police and the voters, in essence, who just threw him out of office, for the problem. And that's my opinion of what's going on. Why are Obama, Holder, and Sharpton keeping the Cold War alive between blacks and whites? What is their intent here? Their intent is to agitate America for two straight years. We're going to have a hell like you've never, like you could never believe. This gang will not stop. This gang of revolutionary criminals will not stop. They want to agitate the mob so they get them to vote in 2016. And moreover, they want to continue to bring in millions of illegal aliens to vote as well so that your vote doesn't count. In other words, they are like an invading force trying to nullify the vote of the American worker. It's that simple. That's my opinion. We have a madman in the White House who doesn't either doesn't know or doesn't care about the reality of what he's inflicting on this country. Of course there's unfairness. There always has been unfairness. There always will be unfairness because human beings are not the same. One of the reasons I love great art and one of the reasons I go to great museums is because I see things in a kind of an eye of time. And so one of the paintings I stop at in the De Young Museum, as I did yesterday, is called The Iron Worker's Noontime from 1880 by the American painter Thomas Anschutz. And it shows hard white men outside a factory in West Virginia, probably a steel factory, I would guess. And they're lean and they're tough and they're tired. And one of the art historians of the day said it's one of the first American paintings to depict the bleakness of factory life. The Iron Worker's Noontime appears to be a clear indictment of industrialization. Its brutal candor startled critics who saw it as unexpectedly confrontational. A chilling industrial snapshot, not the least picturesque or sublime. Now this painting, if it's supposed to be confrontational, was revolutionary in its time. But here is the difference between those who bring the nations together and those who try to burn it down, between those who take their energies and build with it, and those evil ones who just use the normal discontent of any society to tear it down and to make money on their own, like the reverends that I'm talking about, who stir up the masses with hatred, try to set cities on fire. They're the worst of humanity. Make no confusion about it. But what's bewildering is that a president who should know better would permit such vile individuals into the White House at a time like this. Well, that's because birds of a feather flock together, obviously. They're no different. Just one is smoother than the other. I watch a small house being built in my neighborhood. I see the hard work of the Mexicans and the Guatemalans and the El Salvadorans. I listen to them speak in their native tongue. I don't understand all of their words or even some of the words sometimes, but I watch them work. They work as hard as the Italians work that I watched working when I was a kid in New York City. I watched the bricklayers. They were very, very similar. Very similar in many ways. But they didn't burn the city down. They knew that they'd have to work 6 or 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, until they dropped dead. And they hoped that one day their son or their daughter would do better than they did. Maybe he'd be a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. Dr. Corleone, Senator Corleone, I'm just joking. But that the son would do better than the father. And that's the way it was. That was the American story. And some sons did better than the father and some didn't. But at least the son had the chance to try to do better. It didn't mean no matter how talented he was or how hard he worked that he would do better. But it didn't mean society failed him. It means that he just didn't make it. Something went wrong. That's all. I had 20 hard years where no matter what I did, I called myself a wildcatter who never hit a well. I learned to joke about it. No matter what I did, no matter how much schooling I got, I was locked out because I was a white male. They were only hiring women, minorities, and illegal aliens. I got angry as hell. I got angrier than you could ever imagine. I got depressed. But I didn't kill anybody. I didn't burn anything down. I wound up doing something else. I reinvented my talents. Or rather, I drilled down into some other part of me and found other talents. And so, yes, there's always been bleakness in America. There will always be bleakness in parts of America. And there will always be malcontents in America, as there are in all societies. But never before have we had so many agitators stirring up the malcontents as we do now, coming right out of the White House, Justice Department, in my analysis. This is a very dangerous time. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's a summary of the stories we've touched on today on the Savage Nation, and some we haven't. Did you hear about the pack of black teens who beat a white man to death with hammers near Ferguson? But there were no protests, no buildings burnt down, no Al Dirtmouth Sharpton, no Jesse Fake Reverend Jackson, no words from Eric Holder or Barack Obama. Pack of black teens beat a white man to death with hammers. His crime? He drove in their neighborhood. Meanwhile, Holder's Ferguson comments are astonishingly horrendous. Attacking the police? For the mobs? But the big news today is that, as we feared, Boehner sold the country down the river. That's right, you heard me. He just announced today he's not going to shut the country down. He's going to go along with Obama's immigration plan, and he's going to push off the immigration fight to 2015. He's a liar. He just announced plans today to effectively push off a battle over Obama's immigration policies until the next year, but he's going to avert a partial government shutdown later this month. He met behind closed doors like a good communist with fellow communist Republicans. He's attempting the balancing act as he tries to avert a budget shutdown because he doesn't have the guts for it and he wants to keep the cash flowing into the coffers of the gangsters. He's letting conservatives vent over the president's unconstitutional executive actions on immigration. That's why Obama did it. He did it because he knew that Boehner wouldn't fight him. They worked a deal out. Do you understand what I'm saying? You get it? Boehner has to go. He must be thrown out of the speaker's position right now. And this can only be done in January. I told you to lobby them. I told you that's why you bought Stop the Coming Civil War. And by the way, if you haven't bought it, don't you think it's time to read the book? Check it out of a library. Borrow it from a friend. Talk about it and lobby Congress. You've got to remove Boehner from the leadership position. Put a true conservative in there or we are finished. We are finished. The despot in the White House will destroy us if there is no opposition party. What the hell was the last election supposedly about? Now let's go to michaelsavage.com, home of borders, language, and culture. Ferguson police chief probing whether Michael Brown's stepfather incited the riots. Oh, you mean when he said burn this down? Lawmakers make hands-up gesture on House floor. Again, the big lie being pushed forward by black activists inside our own Congress. Catch and release two terrorists set free into the United States by DHS. In the United Kingdom, Muhammad is now the number one name for baby boys. What will Britain be like in 20 or 30 years? If I were a white person, I'd consider emigrating. Suspected Islamic jihadists killed 36 in Kenya because it's a religion of pieces, body pieces. There is no American dream, according to a left-wing college professor. Tell that to all the Americans who've moved up. Here are some of the questions we've talked about in the Savage Nation today. Is there a black leader who is a unifier and not a divider? Who is he? Tell us your own upward mobility story. How have you done better in America than your antecedents? Do you think the country will ever recover from the divisiveness and criminality that Obama has caused? Other stories from MichaelSavage.com include Al Sharpton, the street agitator, is a major influence on Barack Obama. He visited the White House, if you can believe this. I don't think it's the first battle in the Civil War he's trying to start. I warned you about it in my book. What more do I have to do? Do you have to have them come to your house with hammers and beat you to death till you recognize what he's doing to the country? Have a nice day and God bless America.
Savage.